we're going to continue our study of the Lord's Prayer this morning. So I want to start by looking at Matthew chapter 6, which I'll read, then I'll pray, and then we're going to spend the majority of our time in Deuteronomy chapter 8 to illustrate sort of the overall purpose of this particular petition to give us our daily bread. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thus far for the reading of God's word. Let's ask his blessing upon it. Lord, we do ask that you would help us to learn to pray as Christ has instructed us here in your word. We ask that you would work these things in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, for your glory and our good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the overall point this morning of this particular petition is to give us our daily bread. And the very obvious application to it is whatever we have to eat, we have from the Lord. And yet, oftentimes, I would argue, we feel this petition maybe slightly less than some of our brothers and sisters in parts of the world where they don't know where their next meal is coming from. And so I want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 to sort of illustrate this point more pointedly, and additionally to show that regardless of our circumstances, what the fourth petition holds out for us is that we are to rely upon the word of the Lord for everything that we require for life and for godliness, including our daily bread. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we find this sort of remembrance inserted into the second giving of the law. If you recall, this happens after the first giving of the law. There's a second giving of the law, thus Deuteronomy. And we find here laid out for us three points that I'm going to sort of go around: the gift, the giver, and the sort of the outcome, which is that we're grateful. And so the gift, which we'll see in verses 1 through 10, really highlights for us what the Lord is doing on behalf of his people, and should give us some grist for the mill for understanding the petition, give us our daily bread. And so let's look there at Deuteronomy 8 together. It says, "The whole commandment that I command you today you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." It's pausing for a moment. It's at the end of the 40 years in the wilderness. They've been going along, and we have a nice sort of summary about what the Lord's been doing through all these humblings and difficulties along the way. Verse 3, and this is where we begin to focus for our point this morning. "And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years." So just the point that the narrator is making is that the Lord has provided for Israel in every possible way. He's provided their food, and he provided them a food that their fathers didn't know. So it's not as if the Lord just provided for them sort of the leeks and the onions of Egypt, but he provided for them a sort of miraculous food. And the second point is that their clothing and their sandals didn't give out, including the fine detail of "your foot did not swell these 40 years," that God's providence has been so applied to them that they are not having the sort of necessary outcomes that we would typically associate with sort of hoofing it around the desert for 40 years. We would not anticipate any shoe that you would like to bring into the Arabian Peninsula, and you want to the Sinai Peninsula, wanting to march around for 40 years, it's not going to last. And if you march around for that long, you're going to have at least one day with some sores. That you're going to have some issues. And so the providence that we see that God has so orchestrated for them is atypical. And that it's for a particular point, which we saw in verse 2, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And so ultimately, the provision that's being supplied to them is for a finer theological and spiritual point. And we'll explore that more as we go along. So let's look at verse 7 and 9 together. or 7 through 9. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out into the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. That as he orchestrates this difficult period of time, as they've been in the wilderness for 40 years, he's bringing them to a very different land, a land flowing with milk and honey, where really they're not going to have physical want. Just through ordinary means, if they labor and toil, they'll have whatever their heart would desire. And the outcome of that is that they would, verse 10, eat and be full, and then bless the Lord for all of his many blessings. And as we think about this morning, it's important for us to highlight in this particular moment the way in which God deals with us. That the petition for give us our daily bread is really the same point that we see laid out in Deuteronomy chapter 8. That we're asking the Lord to give us our daily bread, and he answers our prayer in the way in which he has intention to do so. And in that particular moment, then, he highlights for us not only the manner in which he supplies our need, but also that he's using it to show us our greater need for him. For which one of us doesn't, if we go a day or two without eating, we would probably all say a meal would be nice, or there'd be something to eat, or if we don't drink water for a period of time, that we immediately feel that need. And as physical creatures, we feel our physical needs perhaps more acutely than our spiritual needs, even though those are more pressing. But we don't have them to the same extent. And so that's what we're going to illustrate here some more as we continue to work through this passage and look at some additional passages, is that the overall purpose of the fourth petition to give us our daily bread is to teach us of our greater spiritual need, which then moves into the petitions which follow about not leading us into temptation, forgiving us our trespasses, and so forth. But we're asking for our daily bread, and the Lord uses that for more spiritual purposes as well. But let's look at the giver, which is laid out for us here in a few additional verses. First, I want to look at the way in which he provides for his people according to his purpose in verse 3, verse 16, and verse 18. So verse 3. Notice the giver in verse 3 is, and he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, that it's the Lord who provides according to his purpose. Verse 16, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good to you in the end. And verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. In short, that all the gifts that the Lord gives to his people are from him. And that as we group them together under material sort of blessings, they fall under this petition. That we're asking the Lord to provide for us materially in terms of really more expansively whatever our bodies might require. So, and we see that laid out for us here in Deuteronomy 8. We can see it in some additional passages. But primarily that we're taught that our physical needs are met by the Lord and by the Lord alone. And I do think that's important for us to recall, especially as it can be so tempting to think that, to just not think about it. As you go into the supermarket, you can, if you're like me, you don't even have to use cash. You just go in and you show a plastic card and they let you on your way. That there's a sense in which it can be very easy to become disconnected from the reality of it. And so the petition and asking the Lord for our daily bread is as important for us as it was for the Israelites, and that the Lord uses those means oftentimes for good spiritual ends. And so we're asking him to give us our daily bread, and additionally then we're acknowledging in the second point that he is the one from whom all these good things flow, that it's from him. So whatever we have is from him. And he's providing richly according to his gift. We already saw in verses 4 to 9 the way in which the Lord has dealt with Israel. We saw in verses 4 and 5 the way in which the Lord has miraculously provided for them. And then additionally, towards the end of that section, we highlighted in verses 7 through 9 that the Lord is providing for them in a new way by this list of extravagant opportunities that they would have, where they only had manna and quail and water in the wilderness for 40 years. Now they'll have wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive trees, and honey. That's all that's from the Lord. So whether we have a little or a lot, it's all from the Lord, and we should pray accordingly. And additionally, the giver then is providing in what seems like supernatural ways. Verse 15, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, and who brought you water out of the flinty rock. That even where Israel was in the wilderness, it's not a place that you would go. I've never been myself, seen pictures. That if you go, you're not going to anticipate to find life there, especially enough to supply a nation of Israel's size for 40 years. There's just not enough water or for all their herds and flocks that they went out of Egypt with. And as they do that, the Lord is providing for them in a place that just makes it very apparent that it's the Lord who has brought them out, and it's the Lord who provides for them. And whatever our circumstances then, as we think about the fourth petition, that's true for us, that wherever you might think about the circumstances in your life, that they are from the Lord, and he provides in that moment. And so to give us our daily bread, we're asking the Lord just to act as he's promised to do, and as he has acted in the times in the past. And so it should really weigh upon us regardless of where we are in terms of our momentary circumstances. And so this miraculous fashion really does highlight for us that the Lord has provided. And I want to look at two passages to illustrate this that are going to harken back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, or to look forward to it. And we'll look back first at Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. That food and drink are brought forth by the word of the Lord. They're brought forth by the word of the Lord. And as you're turning there, that's just saying that we believe what the Lord has said in his scriptures. That he has spoken and it's come to pass. And that's important for us to remember. As we pray, give us our daily bread, it's by his word that we live. And so in Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 to 8, I want to highlight that all this happened in the wilderness, not because there were some weird weather patterns over the peninsula for 40 years, because the Lord has said this is how he's going to provide, and he did exactly that. Exodus 16, verses 1 to 8. They sent out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Just pausing there for a moment. If you recall, Israel cried out in the land of Egypt for deliverance. And after the Lord has delivered them, now they're not grateful, saying it would have been better just to stay back there. You know, we had all these pots of meat, and we ate bread as much as we would like. And, you know, the Lord has just brought us out here for evil intentions. And as we move forward, we'll see the Lord's answer to them in verses 4 to 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. Pausing there for a moment. There's always that connection then with the manna story between God's provision and a test for the people with how they would respond with what the Lord provided for them in that moment. So in other words, he's going to provide for them day by day. You can imagine if the Lord provided them for a week, it would be easy for them to forget, since they have just forgotten the plagues that the Lord has used, the power and might that he brought them out of Egypt. If he gave them 30 days of manna, it would be even easier to forget, you know, a year, 10 years, so on and so forth. And I think this is where just reflecting upon this for ourselves, we live in circumstances where it appears as though the Lord has allotted for us food in sort of perpetuity. It was somewhat brought home this week. I was at a store, and I was asking the manager how many SKU items they have. They have 4,000 SKU in this store, and I thought that was a lot. He said, well, like somewhere like Walmart has somewhere between 50 and 100,000 unique items per location. And somewhat struck with that in terms of what we're having before us here, that, you know, Israel had two items, the manna and the quail. For us, it can be a lot easier because you can go into Walmart and you want chips. There's as many chips as you would like, different flavors or whatever it is that might speak to you. That as we're looking at those particular things, it can be very easy to forget that it's the Lord who provides for us. And I think it's important for us even more so to reflect upon this and ask the Lord for our daily bread, and not just a rote way or a routine way, knowing that we should, but to really feel that it's by His word that we have everything that we have, and that the circumstances that we live in are a blessing in that, and that we should be grateful. But continuing on here as well, notice that as it says in verse 5, on the sixth day when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, at evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because He has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us? And Moses said, when the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against Him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord. And so in short, when they see and they taste the very provision that the Lord has provided for them, the passage rehearses for us that they are to know. So the eating, the partaking, is to orchestrate a better understanding about the Lord. So when you and I partake, we should know that it's the Lord who has provided for us our daily bread. And so as we're praying for that, we have that laid out for us. But this is a very stark reminder that in a wilderness where they should have gone to die, the Lord is providing for them, not for a day, not for a year, but for 40 years, and as much as they would eat. If you notice again, in this particular section, it says in verse 5 that they go out to bring in twice as much, even for the Sabbath. Or additionally, as they go out in the morning to gather, in verse 8, and in the morning bread to the full, as much as they would like, as the Lord provides for them, they are to know. And so I think it's important for us to keep that in mind and to continue praying, asking the Lord for His help. Additionally, I want to look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This passage is oftentimes brought up by our Paedo-Baptist friends as it relates to baptism. I do not want to get into those skirmishes this morning. However, I do want to highlight something else about the food, that as they were being followed by the rock in the wilderness, it was Christ. And for many of the people who are going through the wilderness, they did not esteem Christ much, that they esteemed Him lightly. And as it will say here, that God was not pleased with them and they perished in the way. And so a reminder for us as those who are bound to Christ, who are united to Christ, that we see His provision for us, and as we meet Him at the table, that He is there additionally. But we'll talk some more about that after reading. Want to read verses 1 to 4. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses, in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. For our purposes this morning, I just want to highlight that what's being described there is spiritual. Spiritual food and spiritual drink, and yet they actually ate and they actually drank. And so what's occurring is something that goes, my point is it just goes beyond material terms. So as we look at our whatever we eat for lunch today with the fellowship meal, whatever's on your plate, that there's some sort of spiritual reality tied to it, in that Christ has provided for you in this way. He's provided for us in this way. And there's much more that's going on in the Exodus account than what will occur at our fellowship meal, certainly. But it's just, as we think about that, then the Lord is portraying to us spiritual realities through a means that we can understand. For what one of us doesn't understand hunger, doesn't understand thirst, and that being met through normal means, but primarily by the Lord. And so we have need to ask for our daily bread. And so in this then, as we think about the giver, as we can bring this together, the last sort of point under this is that as the Lord gives every good thing, this includes our care and our industry. Apart from Him, there is no one good. There's nothing that we can accomplish. that whatever we have to go and to procure our daily bread is ultimately from the Lord as well. And so as we're asking him for help for our daily bread, that would also include, I would argue, our daily labors to that end. Because the means that God often uses is you're hungry, you go do a job, you get paid, and you go buy some food. If you just sit at your table and wait for bread to show up, it probably won't. So under that prayer then, as we think about it, how does God provide for us here? Through those normal means. We're praying for our daily bread, and so the means that is going to practically go through is you're going to go work, you're going to get paid, and you're going to buy some food. But that's still from the Lord's hand. Who would disagree with that? That this from the Lord's hand, so whatever we do throughout the day, we're asking for his help, and I would argue that those things then are also contained underneath this petition as well. So as we're asking for our daily bread, we can ask for strength to go do our labors. We can ask for protection that as we work outside with heavy things, that we wouldn't be hurt or what have you, that we would be able to continue on. And in all of that then, every good thing that is brought to pass that we might have our daily bread is contained under this petition. And so the questions we should ask ourselves is, do we believe that? And secondly, do our prayers reflect that? And do they reflect that privately or publicly? And thinking in those lights, I think certainly no one would ever say my prayers perfectly reflect that. But just in terms of like a pass-fail sort of thing, are we praying that way? Are we thinking that way? And asking for the Lord's help for ourselves and for others. Because oftentimes, the Lord's provision for us is not only for our good, but oftentimes helps us to aid our brothers and sisters and others along the way. That as we consider this, that the Lord has given us various talents and opportunities, and as he gives some to others in different capacities, that we are called to go into labor to the best that we can. And I think this is sort of this last point under the giver, that as the Lord has given each of us gifts and abilities, and he sustains us to those ends, that as he provides for us our daily bread, as we have excess, the scriptures do highlight for us that that's opportunity to help others. If you think about in Corinthians, that as we have extra, we are to lay it aside to give to others. Or as we think about in other places, such as the parable of the talents, that whatever the Lord has given is to ultimately yield a harvest of good things. And so as we think about praying for our daily bread, and as we think about our own labors to that end, as we have excess, that those things are a blessing from the Lord, but they do come with additional responsibilities and weights upon us. And I think that's true for everyone in this room, because if we look at take a cross-section and sort of in terms of statistics of the world population, all of us are in the top, you know, whatever percent you would like to be in, definitely top 10, that we're in that top 10%. And so what are we doing with the excess of the Lord has given to us? Are we making appropriate use of it? Are we praying? Are we helping others and thinking through those things and stewarding our own gifts to that end? So we've seen the gift, we've seen the giver, and I want to look more closely now at sort of gratitude. Gratitude, turning back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Overall point in which we have for our daily bread is just simply that we would be thankful, that we'd be grateful, that we would have gratitude for the Lord and the way in which he has dealt with us. We've already seen in the first two verses the reason for why this has occurred. But additionally then, we find that there's a greater point here as well in verses 5-6. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. That the Lord in providing for us in this particular way is oftentimes testing us and seeking to highlight for us the ways in which we go. But additionally, that we might know that he is the one who has done good to us. And likewise, that as we see the very ways in which he has supplied our need, that we might turn and give thanks to him for the way in which he has operated, not just for others, but for us. And that we might then, as we see perhaps in times of difficulty, rather than seeing it as, the Lord's not providing, but saying perhaps the Lord is teaching us something in this time, what is it? And asking the Lord to make that clear to us, to teach us, to help us to know, that we might, as it says elsewhere, know that man does not live by bread alone, but by the very word of God. Because that's ultimately what this whole point highlights for us. It's not for the bread, but that we might know that we live by the word of God, that we live because he says so. And that we have a daily reminder, however many meals you eat, whether you're one meal a day person or five, that as we look at that, that as often as we eat, as often as we drink, we have a testimony for the way in which the Lord is providing for us. And that we look then and we say, as surely as he's provided for us, he, by his word, is sustaining us to his appointed ends. And we find that most clearly laid out for us as a picture in the Lord's Supper, where we find laid out for us a reminder in the most clear terms possible, where with we look at the wafer and we say that what, but this is Christ's body, which is broken for us. And that as we take and eat, that as it says in 1 Corinthians, that it's a participation in his blood, that it's participation in his death, that Christ is feeding us unto good and necessary ends, and restoring or confirming us in those promises, causing us to be conformed to his likeness, and that we then partake of the cup, where we say that his blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. And as you partake of it, and I partake of it, we're thinking not just for others, but for me. That as we partake of it, then what truly can we say, but as it says elsewhere, taste and see that the Lord is good. And as we partake of that, we are reminded, and hopefully by the power of the Holy Spirit swept up all the more into heavenly realms, where we see that it's not the wafer, it's not the cup, it's the realities which are portrayed that we belong to Christ, and that's by his word that we live. And as we look in a more regular, mundane way at our plates day in and day out, let us all the more ask the Lord for our daily bread, but then be reminded that regardless of what we have laid out before us today, regardless of whatever factors you would like to think, quality, quantity, et cetera, that as we look at that, it's the Lord's provision for you and for me. And as we see it, we're reminded that we live not by these elements in front of us, although we certainly do as it relates to our life this side of heaven, but that ultimately is to teach us that as much as we require sustenance for our physical bodies, that Christ has supplied all that is required for our spiritual necessities, that we belong to him, that there's a sort of a further element that is going on with what we partake, just as it was for Israel. Israel was not just simply to say, the manna's nice, the quail's nice. It was to teach them to know that it's the Lord who brought them out. So as we ate and as we drink, the Lord is teaching us to know that it is he who has redeemed us. It is he who has brought us forth, and it is he who is bringing us to himself. And so we have just as much need as the ancient Israelites, whether we feel it or not. And so let us commit ourselves to praying, asking the Lord to give us this day our daily bread. And that as we do so, we will be all the more taught, as we'll see in the petitions which are to come, both to forgive those who trespass against us as we have been forgiven, and additionally, to not fall into temptation, to ask the Lord not to lead us into temptation. And that we begin then with the very easy element before moving into those which are more difficult. And as we look forward to that in the days ahead, let us ask the Lord to teach us to number our days, and additionally to ask that he would be pleased to teach us to know that we live not by whatever it is that we consume, but rather by his very word. Let's pray. Father, we ask that in all of this that you would be pleased to work in us those things that are necessary for life and for godliness. We do pray, Lord, that you would teach us to all the more look to you for everything that we require. And we do thank you for the many ways in which you have so worked and for your patience with us. We ask, Lord, that you would cause us in looking to your word and seeing of Israel in the Old Testament, a picture of the way in which you deal with your people. But we do ask, Lord, that you would cause us to be those who are very quick to run to you, and that we would not fall into temptation. And all this, Lord, we do commit ourselves to you because of Christ our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.